consolation. God gave me blessed consolation, that my trials would come only make me strong. That's why I say
through it
trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I said, through it all, no matter, just through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
I've had many sorrows, tears and sorrows.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. That's why I say, through it all, just thank God, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God.
We trust in His word.
Through it all, I said, through.
I've been to a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There's been times I felt so lonely, all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, precious, lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. That's why I gotta say through it all, just thank God, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. I said through it all, trust God through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Sing it one more time.
That's why I gotta say through it all, just trust God through it all, to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God through it all. I said through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Amen. Let's turn to page 169 in The Only Believe. Wonderful, because He's so wonderful. It is good to be in the house tonight.
Amen.
I'm so happy to be here. Whew. The world couldn't stop me from getting here.
Amen.
I'm marching right back up in this place. This is where I get my recharge. Praise God.
Oh, my heart sings today, sings with joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, takes away my sadness.
peace of mind. Peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Because he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me, he's my counselor, my Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. He's just saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Check this out.
Once a slave, now I'm free. Free from condemnation, and of liberty, and of full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed in the book of heaven. Because he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me, he's my counselor, yes, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Living him with my Lord in a holy, holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace has wrought in my lonely station, since my soul has received full and free salvation. Because he's wonderful, he's wonderful. Jesus is to me, he's my counselor,
yes,
Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame.
Wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. One more time. He's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. He's...
Hallelujah.
Mighty God is he. He's saving me. Saving me, keeping from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name.
Amen. We're going to sing one more, We Fall Down. I think that's it. I don't know the key or word. We'll just sing it. We Fall Down. Not sure the page or anything. 89 maybe. Not sure. I don't know. We'll sing it. We Fall Down. 194. Thank you, sir. We fall down.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the fall down. Yes, we fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Help me sing. And we cry. Hallelujah.
Jesus, thank You for this opportunity to get together and fellowship one more time. The song says, we cry, holy, holy. Once we saw our names in the book, we were able to scream like John screamed. Lord, help bless us just for a couple hours while we get to fellowship around your word with no distractions. Just an opportunity to just talk face to face with you and get our set of instructions, Lord. Bless the hearing the speakers to help us get out of the way to best hear from you, and bless those that are maybe sick or have prayer requests amongst us, Lord. Bless those. Bless those that are out traveling as well. Help them get home safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight.
I think I had probably, I don't know, a couple times, once or twice, I kept threatening. I'm like, man, I'm going to cut you off one of these times. You know, threat only works if you do it. It's like dealing with somebody that yells and hollers all the time. Once you get used to it, you're not afraid of it. They got to do something after the yelling and hollering. Then you're like, okay, maybe there's something there. So now when I say I might cut you off, you might look over every now and again.
Anyway, it's good to be here tonight. I've been chomping at the bit to get back to church ever since we had Sunday service. Pastor Moore preached a wonderful message. And I've every message we get, I'm just never the same again. You know, when we talk about, you know, eating in haste, we talk about what we get from predestination to eternal salvation to all the benefits that we get in here, and to realize that we're not alone in this thing. You know, I know we got, you know, brothers and sisters that believe here, but it's nice to know that those that went along are pulling just as hard as I'm pushing. That means that makes it a lot easier. I mean, that if somebody's pulling and you're pushing, that gets the ball rolling a lot quicker, you know. You know, I've pushed cars before, and every now and again, somebody's not doing the right thing. Maybe somebody's got their foot on the brake, or they don't put it in neutral, and you're like, what is going on? I'm pushing. But if there was a tow truck on the other end pulling and I'm pushing, oh, we can get out of that ditch pretty quick. And we're right here in this world, cosmos. I call it a ditch, and I can't wait to get out of it, you know. So to understand that they're talking to us was just an amazing thing. And I'm just sharing that because, you know, we didn't get to have Sunday night service, so kind of a little recap. I know we always get to go over it Sunday night, and it gives us a little extra lily pad to get to Wednesday. But I've been thinking about this ever since we left out of there, and I thought, my goodness, the voice of the bride. Now, I mean, that just it opens it up to a lot of things. But I never want to overcomplicate it. But it wasn't even a bride until it was fully formed. So we're gonna get into this. But I thought, my goodness, you know, when we even say the voice of the bride, to be able to speak, you know, we don't even, I got types and stuff like that. I don't even call myself a typologist or a teacher or anything. But, you know, when you have a baby, that's a baby. That's a manifestation of the birth. But they're not able to do all the stuff on their own. There's time periods. Like, there's stages to their growth, to the time where they're able to stand on their own. That takes a lot of steps. That's some crawling. That's some moving around. That's identifying your hands, identifying your feet. But then you go through those stages where you can stand on your own. There's some more stages that happen when you can get yourself ready. When you can get yourself ready. That's stages. I'm just telling you from a parent. There's stages to these things. So you have a baby, and it's great. Little Henry's great. But it's nice to see him in the Jada stage when you can say, get ready to go to church. I'll see you in 20 minutes. That's nice. Let's say, get yourself ready, get dressed, and you can be ready for yourself. That means it takes no work on my part. That means it can stand alone. And up until then, it's potential to be ready. It's potential to stand on its own. It's potential. But to get to the point where you say the voice of the bride, that means the baby can talk. That means the baby has sense. That means it can form its words. It knows the whole story. So when we get to the point where we say the voice of the bride, all those other steps had to happen already. That's what gets you there. So when we get that, it's like, oh my goodness. I just get excited. The more and more I see myself in this thing, I get excited. And I thought, man, let's preach a little bit about that. And I want to talk about it. So I got some scriptures and quotes and blah, blah, blah. Got all that stuff. But I'm looking forward to just sharing more about my knowledge of the mystery. You know, because, you know, I don't come with any controversy. We say this anytime we go somewhere. I'm coming to share what I got. If you don't want it, I love it. You know, it's like serving some real good food. If you don't want to eat, it's okay. I'm okay. If there's crab legs on the menu and you don't want it, don't worry about it. I don't even want you to feel bad. I don't even want you to put your nose up. Just slide it over my way. If what I'm preaching don't enthuse you, don't feel bad. Just push it right over back to me. I'll take it. I'll eat on it. It's good to me. I enjoy this. I can't get enough of this. I come in here every time and they start preaching about the rapture and I'm saying, that ain't nothing but the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. If you get tired of it, don't worry about it. Push it all over here. I don't even want you to feel bad. I don't want you to feel bad in your understanding. You'll get there someday. Oh, my, my, my. So I was looking at this thing and I was reading through and I thought, my goodness, we are blessed. And I thought, you know, some of the times when God gives us a revelation on things, you know, when you're truly at like expert level in your field, you can break it down to a baby. If you know, I'm baby when it comes to understanding of cars. And I am. I don't even try to. I put gas in it and I take it to get oil change. If it needs something else, somebody better tell me. They better put it down on the paper. I don't even try to act like it. So one time I went to go change brakes with Brother Steve, and he starts talking like everybody should know how to change brakes. And I'm like, I don't even know where the brakes are. Like, I don't know where the brake pad, I don't know how it forms together. I wouldn't know the first thing to unscrew. But he's a genius at that. He's expert level. He was like, okay, what you're going to do is you're going to reach around here, you're going to feel this, you're going to turn that, move it. We changed the brakes. I go home driving like I should get a job at AutoZone. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. But that was because I was dealing with somebody that understood it, that sees it, that had done it so many times that it was clear to them. And when God opened this up to me, I'm looking at it kind of like I know how to change brakes today. Yes. When I see myself looking at this, I'm saying, my title is All That John Saw. Now, for years, you could read through the book of Revelations. For years, you could say, we're a type of John. For years, I didn't know what I was talking about. I could just kind of identify with what they're saying. But now, I'm a bad boy now. Oh, I know what I'm talking about now. I can walk anybody through it. So I'm going to do that for y'all tonight. Because when I see what John saw, it gets me enthused about. Because what John saw was different than what anybody else saw. Now I got to slow myself down every now and again because I'm a fast reader. I am. I'm that's my superpower. I'm not like a Disney dad where they're just dumb. You ever watch Disney shows? All the dads are dumb. They're just dumb. The kids are the smartest. Mom is the all-knowing, but she doesn't do anything. But the kids are the heroes. All the Disney stuff. And the dads are just dumb. This ain't no Disney movie. I can read quick. I got power of comprehension. I'm reading through there, and I see myself in here. So I got to slow myself down a little bit because I might read fast. So I want to slow it down a little bit, but that's my title is All That John Saw. Now let's read over here because Pastor Moore preached the voice of the bride, but I'm going to read over here in a familiar scripture, Book of Revelations 10. Book of Revelations 1, I'm sorry. Revelations 1, we'll get over to Revelation 10 tonight, I'm sure. It's almost like going to the Book of Romans. You're going to get to 8. You're going to get there at some point. Yeah, so we'll go over to Book of Revelations chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, and then we'll go down to 17 to 20. So let's turn over there. Very, very familiar scripture. This is just John talking. And then, so he's dealing with God there. And we go down here to verse 10. It says, this is John speaking. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, that's a symbol, as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So even those are symbol forms to most people. Alpha and Omega means I'm the beginning and the end. He's essentially saying, without me, there is no start, and without me, there is no end. He is the all in all. That's all in all. Alpha, Omega, first and the last. Those are synonymous. Those mean the same thing. First and the last. And what thou seest, so now, what thou seest. He's showing John everything. Write it in the book and send it unto the seven churches, which are Asia and Ephesus and Samaria and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. These are church ages. John is writing to these church ages, and it's prophecy. John is writing about each of the church ages. And so that's John writing to each of the church ages. Now, the church ages, just so you understand it, when John's writing to these church ages, and even when we have them up here, it has the messengers up there, they're siloed, okay? Now, I use Brother Steve as an example, and I remember Brother Steve, we go in the silos, and they have, like, soybeans in a silo. A silo is just one big area that everything's contained in. Let me use another term. Chipotle. You go to Chipotle, and they got all the food is siloed. You got the lettuce, you got the meats, you got the beans, right? But here's the thing about that. I just said the word Chipotle. You understood the type because that's common to us. When they say these types in the book of Revelation, Seven candlesticks, messengers, horn. These are types that are common to John. Those are just types describing what he's saying. Like, these are messengers. These are things. So he's just types. So when I say silo or we say Chipotle, these are just terms. The ages were siloed. They were separate from one another. That's a key point. They were separate from one another. They had what they needed to have, but they were separate from one another. Now, when they're separate, they're not all knowing. When you're separated, you don't know what the other one has. You know you go together, but you don't know how they go together. And Brother Branham even said, had they lived long enough in each age, they would have stayed together. But because they died, they stayed right there. And then what church world would do was denominate around that and stay in that silo, that denomination. They denominated by staying to themselves. So Baptists became Baptists. Methodists became Methodists. That's how that works. So we're on the same page. We're on the same page. So each church age siloed through there. But John, when he saw this, and we're going to go down to chapter verse 17. When he saw this, John saw each age being formed.
Right.
All the ages.
Amen.
John was not secret. Nothing was secret to John. He saw the entire picture that God revealed to him.
Amen.
Another key point. So let's read over in verse 17. And he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to hell and death. He's comforting John. John, don't be afraid right now. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall here be after. Prophesy. And the mystery of the seven stars, see, using the term, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the golden candlesticks, and the seven stars, and the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. He's saying, John got to see every messenger.
Yeah.
John got to see every age, so much so that he described each age to a T. Now, if you ever have a chance to read the book of the seven church ages that Brother Branham wrote, one of the ones that I like to hone in on was the book of Laodicea. When John wrote the book of Laodicea, talking about things about equal rights and all these things, that had never been heard of.
Right.
You're talking about a time period where slavery was not only prevalent, it was expected. If you had a lot of work to do, you expected to have slaves.
Right.
If you ran a country, you expected to have slaves.
Right.
There was no rights.
No.
There was no, that was a foreign concept to even think that somebody would have a right, let alone all of them having equal rights.
Right.
It was just a foreign concept. So for John to put that in there, it just showed that he had saw the entire age.
Amen.
Because now when you look at in 2024, it's not foreign for me to say that we have equal rights.
No.
You expect it. You know what that means. But at the time John wrote this, when he was caught up in the Isle of Patmos, foreign. And nobody understood what he was saying. What do you mean that age will have equal rights? What do you mean they'll be rich and increased with goods and won't have anything or nothing but be naked and blind and miserable, won't even know it? That didn't make any sense at the time. But it does now. It does now. That prophecy is fulfilled now. So the bride was revealed to John, and I'm trying to get through it. Like I said, I don't want to talk fast. But I'm excited. Okay, so when we say, this is another thing. I like to make sure we understand this. When Brother Branham says that the bride, us, right now, is a perfect type of John. John is the perfect type of the bride. The reason why he says that is because John has been given the full plan of God.
Amen.
The bride, in the end time, was given the full plan of God. No secrets, no mysteries. It was fully revealed. Now, when we try to explain it, when we try to say what we see, it is foreign to the rest of the world. It is a simple form to them. But to you and I, it's just as clear, plain English as I could make it. It's Chipotle. It's siloed. It's words like, it's the word of God. It's prophecy. We needed a prophet. I can say those things to believers, and they're like, amen, that's nothing but the truth. I pick it up. But that happens at that. That's why we can say that. And who else saw their name in the book? Who else saw their name in the book but John? Nobody else saw their name in the book. Even to be able to see your name in the book took a certain amount of time for John. Now, when we go in the book of Revelations, you read in the book of Revelations that God was revealing this master plan to John, revealing it to him. It got to the point where John got to the sad part of the story. He saw that nobody was worthy to open this book of redemption. God's still revealing the plan to him. Now, make sure I say this right. God has the whole plan. He's revealing to John. And in the middle of the story, John realizes that there's a train coming down the tracks and we're on it. He's like, wait, I see what's happening. But unless somebody outside of us, somebody that can be a kinsman redeemer, somebody that has the ability to pay the price, we are doomed. Amen. That book of redemption was sealed up, closed. Nobody had access to it. Nobody knew what was in it. And John saw that the conditions that nobody was able to do it. Matter of fact, John was caught up in the Lord's day, meaning he was caught up in eternity. John had access anywhere on the timeline. John could go to Adam and go, is Adam worthy? No. John went to Moses. Is Moses worthy? No. Went to Jonah. Went to the messengers of the age. Is Paul worthy? Is somebody going to be worthy to open this book? Because John basically paused the movie. God was giving him this story, just letting him know everything that's happening. John paused it and started crying because he thought that was the end of the show. He thought this was it. Pauses it, looks around, says, nobody's worthy. Nobody can do this. Now, remember, he saw all the ages siloed. They were separate, still separate. Still. Now, together, they could have been a powerful force, but they were all separate at this time. Leave that with you. So John, and you know, also, even when we think about that, what John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos because of his belief. I feel like we're exiled right now in this world just because of our belief. We say common sense things like, you should discipline your kids. You're looked at as on an island by yourself. You looked at as exiled. If you're a wife and you say, I just submit to my husband. I let him control this stuff. I let him handle this. You're exiled. I mean, just think about just some of the stuff that we say. Oh, no, I'm going to go take this to my pastor and ask him what he thinks on this. You look at it like you're crazy. You're on an island by yourself. We just tell people just normal things, and you're looked at like you're on an island. Same thing as John. Another type there. So anyway, let's go over here. So when John saw that nobody was worthy to open the book, the story keeps going. God keeps revealing it to him. John finally gets to the part where the book is opened. Somebody does come down. He does realize that the Lamb was slain and that the book is open. When John sees the book is open, now John goes and checks for his name. John is the only one that can do this at the time. He's the only one there to go look at the book. He sees his name. Before John wept, John didn't know what was going on. When he sees his name, when the seals are ripped off, John now has a full understanding of who is going to be there, and he goes and finds his name. Amen. Why is that important? Because John's name wasn't the only one on there. It was more people that were going to be there than just John. John didn't open the book to one name. It had many names. Amen. The rest of the bride body's names was written in there. When the seals were open, John saw that. Amen. Now you say, okay, Brother Jay, I hear you, but where does that get tied to Pastor Moore? Here's where it gets important. When the seals were opened in 1963, guess what happened? The walls of perdition, the silos that were between the ages, all came down. Now, we're sitting here looking at the full story, and those sleeping saints, they're able to read that page a lot faster than us. When we saw the seals were open in 1963, we had all these things that we thought we'd have to do. You got to live like this. You got to walk like that. You got to do this. Because at some point, you're going to need help. But when you read all the way down, just like those sleeping saints saw, they saw that they were taken care of. They saw their name in the book. When those seals were opened up to us, we saw that we were already taken care of, that we're a finished product in God's eyes. And you say, oh, Brother Jay, you got to live this. Yes, you do got to live that. If Satan's battling you on it, live right. Don't even make any excuses for it. Try your hardest to do everything you're supposed to do. But keep reading. Keep going. Keep staying with this thing and see your name in the whole book. Because there was a time that John didn't think he was worthy. There was a time that John didn't know what was going on. But you just have to keep reading on down. Or you just got to keep looking at the whole picture and see that you're worthy. And those saints, those sleeping saints,
They know the whole plan now. Oh, you got some quotes? I got plenty of quotes. Brother Childers said one time there was this brother that was arguing with him and debating with him his whole life. The brother passed away. And Brother Childers had a revelation that those saints have the revelation of the hour. He said, that brother has it right now. Woo! What does he have right now? The correction of everything. He has the seals fully open to him. Now, on this side, we get distractions. On this side, we got things that get in our way. And on this side, you got all this junk in your mind that gets in the way of what God told you, of what God promised you, of what God shared with you. But you get rid of those distractions. You get rid of this flesh realm. You get rid of this thing that's in the way, and the truth will show out. That's why Brother Childers said he's got it right now. Even then, we were still in the middle of the page, still reading down. What do you mean he's got it right now? What do you mean it's this and that? Oh, they know what it is over there. They know what it is over there. It's no longer us. They're together now. They're one unit now.
Because we used to even get that quote wrong. Brother Branham would say, God's not going to marry a bride with one breast. Well, of course he's not. Because that would mean something's missing from the ages. That would mean one of the messengers didn't do their job. See, we're so carnal. Oh, we think of mutation. No, he's saying, I need all seven to make this thing complete. I need all seven to do the job that I need to do. Until they're all fulfilled, I can't marry that. But when they're all fulfilled, then the bride itself, the whole bride, the living and the sleeping saints, unite to make up the bride. That's why they can hear. Do you ever think it's strange that they were singing those songs before John knew what it was? And when John found out what it was, he started joining in on the song. Oh, see, because you got to understand, when you finally see your name, it should tie you in to the body. It should tie you into the body, that you understand that all those things have been taken care of for you. Salvation has been taken care of you. Baptism has been taken care of you. Oh, the word's been made perfect. That's been taken care of you. Do you think, oh, I got to rework this up, work that up? No. My part is the mind age. When I come down here, I'm not a moving part of the bride. I'm stationary. I am telling the bride what to do. They hear me because I'm telling them what to do. I don't got to yell at my feet to step. They just do what I want them to do. We got one goal. That bride has one goal. That's to get out of here. Oh, my. Now, so now when I read the Bible, don't get mad at me when I want to read fast. Don't get mad at me when I want to get to the end. Don't get mad at me when I want to see my name. Oh, Brother Jay, you should talk about this. You should talk about that. You know what? Yeah, you're right. I should read Revelations 1 through 7. That's a great part of the book. But you know what? I read that. Then when I get to 8 through 11, I want to savor it a little bit more. I want to read on that a little bit more. Why? Because it just means that much more to me that he says, I took the book. Because there was a time I didn't know anybody could take the book. There was a time when the book wasn't open. There was a time nobody had access to the book. But you go over to Revelations 10, 8 through 11, it says, I took the book. I took the book. When you say John's a type of me, I took the book. I opened it up. I'm reading it. I'm testifying. I'm prophesying again. Oh, my. You see how this is? So when you say they're talking, we're talking. Now when we go to read scriptures, it should be a little bit different when we read them. Let's go over here and read Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 4 through 17. Pastor Moore, he read this, and it's different now. That's what Brother Childers was saying. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now. Oh, let's go over here and read this. So this is Thessalonians 4. I'm going to read verse 16 through 17. It says a whole sentence there. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Nobody has a problem with that scripture. And the dead in Christ shall rise when? When do they rise? First. They rise first. They're reading down to the bottom of the page faster than we are. It's okay. I'm not mad at it. But the scripture says they rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, to understand that, you got to understand that they're hearing the word of God just like we're hearing the word of God.
So much so that they're ready to move almost a split second faster than us. But I don't care. I don't care how fast they move. I don't care. Because guess what's going to happen when I see one? I'm going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's another scripture. So I don't care who sees it first. I just know I'm going to see it. Or I'm not getting caught up with the weepy willows and thinking, oh, Debbie Downers, oh, they're leaving me. Oh, why is me? Dallas forsaking me. No, the party's starting when I see one of them. Let me see, Brother Childers. You think I'm going to be caring about some job? Let me see Sister Lois. You think I'm going to be caring about my car? Let me see Brother Danny walk in here and say, it's time to go, boys. Let's get out of here. Change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's how much they're seeing what's going on, is that when it is time, they're going to just move like a thought. And they're going to come and pick us up. And to understand how important it is that the bride be united, that the bride be together. Because see, Pastor Moore's preaching the voice of the bride. It's so important that it's just one voice, that you can't even go meet Jesus in the air until it is one voice. You can't go meet him partially. We can't just go, the living can't just go meet him, and the sleeping saints can't just go meet him. We got to be united together to go meet him in the air. That's even what the scripture says. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, I love when you, now that we read the scripture, I'm looking at it. This is comforting to me, yeah, to know that there's a group of people that went before me that's paving the way. Yeah. It's like having your elder brother pave the way for you. Yeah. Oh, matter of fact, let me find this. It's elder. Let me find this here. Because that's I don't even know if I find it, but anyway, it's in here. I'm going to find it. That's a quote from Brother Branham. He was talking about how what happened when John was crying. Who came over and told him, don't cry no more? Because John was crying about the sacrifice over in the book of Revelation. One of the elders that knew what it was said, hey, John, you ain't got to weep no more, buddy. The sacrifice has been paid. I've seen it myself. Get up, son. You're taken care of. Woo, that's what they're doing right now. They're talking to us. Every now and again, I want to weep. Every now and again, I want to get down. And they're saying, whoa. Don't weep. This is what they've been talking about. Yeah. You're fulfilling the prophecy that we've been waiting for. Yeah. We need you to do your job so we can do our job. Keep pushing the word. Keep pushing it forward. Amen. Oh, and it makes me think, you know what? And we've said this before, so I'm not bringing nothing new under the sun. But you know what? I don't care about any of their lives. I don't care about Paul's life, Irenaeus' life, Martin's life, Columbus, Luther, Wesley, Branham even. I don't care one bit. Okay. Well, how can you say it? I don't care how many times they were married. I've never tried to count it. I don't care what kind of problem they had, drinking, smoking. I never looked it up. It never mattered to me. What did they do with the word? What job did you do when God gave it to you? Did you just accept it? I don't look back at Noah's life and wonder, oh, you terrible human being. What did you do when God told you what to do? Did you just do that? That's all that's required. That's the only judgment. Is what you do with the word. Oh, and Satan will have you, because see, I know how this church world is. Oh, you're greasy grace. No, I'm not. If you're at that stage in your life where you haven't read down to the bottom of a book, it's okay. Keep reading chapter 1, 2, and 3. You need the law. It'll help you. But I serve God out of love. And law, that helps you in the stages. My kids, I need to make sure they sit still when they're 3 and 4 years old. My kids, when they're 5 and 6, I need to take care of them. Before they're able to get themselves ready, I need to make sure they're ready. If they come out of the house looking a hot mess, that's on me if they're that young. That's my fault. But when they become of age, they're going to do what they need to do. I'm of age now. I'm mature in this thing. I have a full understanding of the word of God. I serve God because I love him. There's not a rule you can put on me. There's not a bylaw that you can make me do. If God says step it up, I want to step it up. If God says do this, I want to do this. It's just my very desire. It's in my very nature. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ, and what the Bible says, it'll turn quickly to the word of God. I turn quickly. When God has a request, I can't wait to do it. I love the Lord. That's how that song says, I really, really love the Lord. That I'm not doing this because it's a ritual, because my parents did this, because my grandparents did it. I don't care if nobody does it. I'll still serve him. Amen. Oh, my. Amen. That's the difference. So if you're in the law phase of the book, stay there until you get to the next chapter. Keep reading. Keep staying with it. But it's real. It's real. It's real to me. Oh, John was in the law stage, so to speak. He got cast out because of the law. But when he stepped up into that eternity, up into the Lord's day, he wasn't worried about the law no more. He wasn't worried about the snakes. He wasn't worried about his surrounding. He wasn't worried about his life. He wasn't worried about anything. He says, keep showing me more. Keep telling me more. Matter of fact, when John fully saw himself, all on heaven and all below the earth, everybody heard John scream. He wasn't hiding in the revelation. He wasn't shrugging the challenges or the responsibility. He said, I'm going to tell you. I got to share it with you. Matter of fact, John was so excited about what he had, he broke his little secret that he told God. God said, seal it up. John said, when you get here, it's over. What'd you say? That's how John did it. He said, once you see this, if you can read and understand the words of this prophecy, you're at the part that I saw was the end. That means the decoder ring has been revealed to you. That means the seals have been opened. Because if you get to this part and you can understand my words, woo, it's over. It's over. You made it. You're the voice of the bride now. Now the bride is standing on her feet. She's made herself ready. Oh, see, that's why when you say the voice of the bride is talking, all I did was just get louder, Satan. I just got louder. Because now I know some people are with me. Oh, now I know I'm taken care of. Oh, I love even being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I love that. Even Pastor Moore pointed that out, and I thought, that is why I feel better. I see I got help. I see I got somebody that's helping me out. Oh, I got some witnesses. I got some believers with me. Oh, that's how it is. Even if you're going in the natural, if you got a problem, it's nice to have some help. It's nice to have somebody with you that can get the job done. Oh, if you're about to walk in a dark alley and you got 40 people with you, I don't care how dark it gets. That's all right. I don't even lead on my own understanding. I know I'm taken care of. I'm good, so to speak. That's how it is when I walk in here and I see the believers that have went before me, that are paving the way. You don't think Brother Childers is pulling for me to get over there? Come on now. You don't think he's saying, that's what I told him. Tell him like I said it. Stay right there, brothers. He's excited. Oh, if he could come back, he'd sit right there and say, y'all preaching it like we're preaching it. Finally, you're caught up. That's what he'd have to say. That's what he'd have to say. I believe it. I'm not even putting words in his mouth because we're saying what he said. We're prophesying again as a group. Oh, they didn't even have this understanding during Branham's time. They didn't see it like we see it. But we see and know and understand the words of this prophecy. So when you're looking through the ages, oh, it's great to know that we had ages. It's great to know that God had a job to do in each one of those ages. But when those walls of perdition came down, all things broke loose. Everything broke loose. Because the praises no longer are in heaven. It's down here on earth. There's a group of people that knows what it is now. See, that's why even when I said that, I'd say there's a group. And I was thinking, there's a group. There's a group. There's a group here. That's nice. But it can't just be this group here. It's good. But that's not enough. That's part of it. That's a bride with one breast. That's half fulfilled. But there's a group of believers that knows what it is. Now what are you going to do when you get that group that knows what it is? Then the rapture can go because we need them to come out first. So of course they need to know what's going on. They can't even wait on me to say it. They got to be ready before I say it. They got to join in the song. I got to join the song they're singing. Oh, my. I praise God for this understanding. Because when you see it like we see it, it don't matter what anybody says to you. It don't matter. I see it too clear. I see it too clear. You can't tell me my name's not in the book no more. You're going to try to take away my loved ones? You're foolish. You try to tell me I don't have predestination? Come on. Come on, do something else. That's silly. That's ABCs. I knew that coming in. I know I'm secure.
Oh, Brother Jay, you do this. Brother, I probably do. I won't even disagree. I won't even give you the fight. If it offends you, let me apologize. Let me apologize. I apologize sincerely. I apologize. If I ate meat in front of you and it offended you, I'm sorry. I am sincerely sorry. I hope it doesn't hinder you. But guess what? If you eat meat in front of me, it has no bearing on me at all. I am so secure that whatever you do doesn't affect me. And if what I'm doing affects you, I'm sorry. Let me get it right, because this is too sweet to let any distractions get in the way. If I need to wear a longer shirt, tell me. I'll wear a longer shirt. If I need to put on a jacket to help you, I will put on a jacket. It's worth it to make sure you get this sweet nectar that we're all eating from. It's so perfect. I don't want to do anything that may cause you to stumble. Oh, you know what? Matter of fact, even when I'm getting ready for church, one of the most important things I got to do is I got to just clear my mind from distractions. Yeah. My family will tell you, I just want to sit down, almost just sleep, really. I just need to clear my head from all this. That's really mostly what I do to even get ready, because I'm revelated. You're all revelated. We've been eating this word. I don't got to go get more word. I don't got to get another Bible. I don't go find somebody else to preach it. I've been preached too long enough to have something to say. I've been talked too long enough to have something to do. God's been blessing me so much, I at least got a good testimony. I've been filled with the goodness of the Lord. He blesses me every day, I got something to say. So normally what happens is I just need to get the world off of me just for a second so I can remember, so I can remind myself that I'm one of them. Oh, when that happens, that ties me back into the body. And then I'm back on, I'm like John in the Isle of Patmos. Oh, I might be surrounded by all this junk, but I'm caught up in the Lord's day now. None of that stuff affects me. None of that stuff bothers me. I'm ready just to preach, pray, or die. Why? Because I'm ready to get out of here. My whole goal is to get out of here. I don't have nothing else to do. I'm just trying to get out of here. Oh, Brother Jay, don't you want this to be better? It'll never be better. We have not progressed one bit. We haven't added one drop of water to the earth. We haven't done it. Matter of fact, we've ruined it. We've not done anything to benefit this earth at all. We haven't made another one. You can't create a terrarium. You can't create people. You come on now. Man can't create. God's the only creator. He created this earth, and we've been ruining it ever since we got here. We have. The food you eat, it's been ruined. You say, oh, I'm going to eat organic. How did it get organic? Where did they plant it at? What earth was it? What did they spray to keep the bugs off of it? I'm just telling you, just walk through how silly you think it is. Oh, even if you plant it in your own house, where did that soil come from? Where'd you get that? What are you watering it with? The hard water of Fairborn? I'm just telling you, you just get caught up in your own mind. And that's how it is even when you listen to the radio. You go, well, I'm listening to Christian music. I'm not getting indoctrinated. Okay. Really? It's just as bad. They go in there and start spilling their doctrines and their creeds and their denominations and their traditions between every song. You can't even hardly listen to a song before they start condemning you, making you feel terrible. And you're like, I just wanted to hear some good music. But that's just this world. That's their soil. That's what they're planted on. But I'm planted on a rock of revelation that won't change at all. Whether I get to listen to music or not, I'm still planted on this rock. Just give me the word, and the word is all I need. Oh, I'd love to hear some singing. I would. But if I don't get singing, just give me the word. Oh, I'd love to hear how God's been blessing you. I'd love to hear that. That'll strengthen my faith a little bit. But guess what? You give me that word, it'll take care of everything. Oh, Brother Jay, you don't know. Oh, I do know. I know that this rapture will take care of whatever you're about to say next. I know that the rapture will take care of whatever you was worried about now. I know that the rapture will fix any problem that you thought you had. Oh, Brother Jay, I do this and I know it's wrong. The rapture will take care of that too. Oh, Brother Jay, I think this and I know it's wrong. The rapture will take care of that too. Oh, Brother Jay, I wish, who cares? Focus on what God's already given you. Stay with the message, stay with the word. And that's all you got to keep your eyes on. It don't matter how long it takes. Noah didn't have a time clock. He wasn't running against the clock. God said, build the ark. And he started building. And when he got done, God was like, okay, get in. And then he shut the door. It wasn't a countdown. No, it wasn't. I only got 19 more days. Somebody help me. No, he just started building the ark. He just believed God. That's how he pleased the Lord. He just believed him. So now when you want to come over here and judge me, I ain't moving too fast, get off of me. I'm building an ark. I'm building this ark. Don't worry about how long it takes me to get to where I need to be. God, I just believe God. I come to church. He gives me my orders, and I march. I take a step.
I take another step, and I take another step.
Amen.
You stay out of my way, I'll step on out of here.
Amen.
That's how I feel about this thing. You just get out of my way, and I'm going to get out of here because I'm going to keep coming service after service after service. I'm going to get one more marching order and one more marching order. Oh, I'm not going back. Every now and again, I might stop. Somebody might be like, hey, another step. But I ain't going back. I can't take back what God already gave me. I see that too clear. I can't extinguish the manifestation that he's already given me. I can't put the sun under the ground and say I don't see it no more. I can't hide my face in a pillow and say it don't shine no more. I know God's real. And every step of the way, he reveals himself more and more and more. That's even what happened to John. God was revealing himself more and more and more and more to the point where John said, oh my goodness, this must be the Lord. That's what we're seeing right now, saints. The seals have been opened. We're all that John saw. John saw the ages being opened up. You see the ages opened up. You have a full manifestation of every church age that's opened up. You know them in their entirety, and you see them in their final form. You see, when we put the ages up here, this is how advanced. I'll make sure I say this right. Whenever somebody has this chart in this format, they're advanced. This chart shows the end of each age. There's some churches that show the beginning of the age. There's some churches that don't even show the seventh age. But we show the end of each age. That takes a revelation. Because to know the age is over means you know what happened afterwards. But if you leave it open, that means you don't know when it's over. You don't know when it ends. Matter of fact, we can look at Laodicea and say 1906 to 1963. Because when the seals were over, that was it. That was it. It was over. All the names that would ever be revealed have been revealed. All the revelation that you need to get have been revealed. And matter of fact, people always go, oh, you got to do this, do that. I'm not going to bring any more revelation than was already brought in 1963. I can only worship and fellowship on that same set of revelation. Now, do we get more information? Yes. Is it broken down to us? Yes. Do I get a better understanding on it? Yes. That's the stages. Same with anybody in life. All the stages just type out and show what progression is supposed to look like. It just shows what progression is supposed to look like. There should be a time that you come to church and don't understand. See, I always get nervous when people come to church and they think they know everything. I'm like, man, you're going the wrong steps here. I don't know how you're able to run, but you never walked. I don't know how this works. I don't know how you know where God is, but you didn't know where to find him. I don't know how this works. I don't know how you have revelation, but you don't know the seals were open. I don't know how that works. I'll let you be. But there should be stages where you don't know. You don't understand. But something on the inside, even when you don't understand, says that ain't nothing but the truth. That just feels a little different than anything I've ever heard. And you go, that just sounds different than anything I ever heard. That makes sense. And then everybody else around you that don't have a seed in them, they're like, nah, I don't make no sense. I don't know. How do they have a prophet? I don't know. Then nothing got open. No. I'm going to be in tribulation. And you're like, why would God do that to his bride? He loves us. I wouldn't put my bride through that. And then something on the inside of you just makes sense. And to you, you think it's just common sense. But it confounds the world. And that understanding just turns, and you just think on it, and it becomes a revelation. And you go, no, that is the truth. That does make sense. That's what I'm reading. That's what I see. And that's it. That's it. That's it. It's over. When you have a clear understanding of your day in this message, meaning you can pick up the messenger for this hour, it's it. That's the new birth. Because see, you'll want to overthink it. Well, when I can quote it, nope. When you have a clear understanding of just one revelation. You don't need 100 of them. Just one revelation. A clear understanding of one. Because what we're preaching is so high level that to even get one revelation takes God. Amen. To get one understanding takes God. So if you pick up one thing, I'd stake my claim right there and just hold on to that. Don't even look anywhere else. Stay right on that. Because see what happens is people talk themselves out of a new birth. You'll get one understanding and you go, well, I don't understand everything Isaiah understands. I don't talk like Kevin talks. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to talk like Kevin. You're not supposed to look like Isaiah. You're supposed to be you. You're supposed to be Sister Judy. You're supposed to be Brother Doug. That's you're supposed to be you. You're supposed to understand like Sister Renee understands. You're supposed to see it like Sister Courtney sees it. That's how this is supposed to work. God wants a many-member bride. He don't want drones looking the same. That's how you know it's manufactured. When you start looking and talking the same, I'm out. God's not in it anymore. It's got to be an individual revelation that ties you into the many-member body. And when that happens, it is just one voice, because we're all speaking from the same revelation. Oh, my, 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 my. I love what God's doing for us. Because when we see it like this, I no longer tremble at different things. You know, I see myself as a finished work, like God sees me. John saw himself in the book. There was nothing else you could tell John that was going to change his mind on whether or not he was taken care of. When he saw his name, that was the end of his work, so to speak. That was the end of his struggling. That was the end of his fear. That he didn't weep anymore once he saw his name in there. That's how I feel. When I hear what God requires out of me, I'm not afraid of it. Oh, you need to do this. Okay. You need to do that. Okay. You need to do that. Oh, perfect. I'm going to keep working to the time clock, boss. And then when it's time to leave, I'm out of here. Somebody else had to pick it up. Second shift, I have to show up. Somebody else to take the ball when I'm out here. I'm not thinking I need to rebuild the world. He's going to do that. I'm not thinking I need to clean up the world. He's going to do that. I'm here to get the saints up. That's my job. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that we will not hinder those that are asleep. Why? Oh, what do you mean not hinder? It means I won't do anything to stop them from getting up. They're going to get up before I even get up. Oh, my, my, my. So when I say all that John saw, it's just a snippet. A snippet of what Pastor Moore was preaching, but it hit me so hard, I thought, they just read a little bit faster than we did. Those saints read down and saw their name, and they've been rejoicing ever since. And we're coming into the knowledge of it as a group. Now, there's been pockets of us that get it and go, like a Brother Childers that got it and just ran with it. And that's why that man was so revelant. He knew who he was. And now we're waking up to who we are. And when you're seeing who you always been, you're preaching like Brother Childers preached. You're talking like Brother Branham talked. You're speaking like Paul spoke. Matter of fact, even Brother Branham, see, that's why I love having these little quotes in here. Brother Branham, if it was ever in doubt on where he would be, he got over there and he heard a group shouting and rejoicing. Now, we know this story, but just to show you how when you know that somebody's right, he knew Paul was right. And he heard that group rejoicing. They're like, what's going on? Brother Branham's like, what's happening? What's going on? He said, oh, that's Paul's group going in. Oh, well, if Paul got it, I preach what Paul preaches. I know I'm okay now. So even if it was ever in doubt, he tied himself right to the body and said, but I preach what Paul preaches. That's how you got to fight the devil sometimes right now. Because you'll battle your mind. You go, well, I don't know this. I don't know that. But I look around and I say, if Brother Childers is there, I know I'll be there. I preach what Brother Childers preaches. And then I look around and I say, if Branham's there, I know I'll be there. I preach what Branham preaches. And Branham's saying, I preach what Paul preaches. Paul's saying, I preach what Jesus gave. That we're tying it all back. It still gets tied back to the body. So don't let Satan battle you with that junk anymore. You're a type of John. You have been revealed the full revelation of Jesus Christ. You have the entire, John saw the entire plan of God. Not just the ages. He saw the entire plan of God. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation, he says, like the revelations that all of God was, he revealed it to Jesus Christ, to John. Because he revealed it to his servant. To show him the entire plan. The book of Revelations was written and sealed up because it contained every secret of the Bible. When you fully understand the book of Revelations, you've got the key to the rest of the book. You understand Satan's purpose. You understand what he was trying to do in the garden. You understand how his seed went through. You understand when that natural seed went off. You understand the spiritual line that went through. You understand the two bloodlines. When the seals are open, they're open. There is nothing else that's hidden in the book. There's not a chapter that's hidden. There's not a verse that I understand. Matter of fact, he said, if you don't see yourself when you're reading about Jesus, go back and read it again. When you see what Jesus done, you should be able to see that that's you. Why? Because you're Mrs. Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the same as it is in the natural. Husband and wife, they're considered one. In all financial transactions, they are one entity. When I say anything important, they're one. Oh, what do you want to eat? That ain't important. Who cares? Eat whatever you want. But when it comes to buying a house, one. Many major financial decisions, one. Matter of fact, they won't even let you get through with it unless she's there.
You show up to the closing for buying a house, they're like, where's your wife at? You said you was married. She's not coming. She don't like this. Well, you can't do it. You got to get her signed consent because you're one unit. Her signature is your signature and your signature is her, but we need to see them both, bub. That's why the spirit and the bride will say come. They need to see us both, bub. They want to see me and the sleeping saints. They want us both to be able to sing in one voice and one accord and say, it's time to go. And that's what we're doing in this hour. It's one voice saying, it's time to go. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. To even say that statement, saints, you got to understand that nobody else sees that Jesus even has a bride. It's we talk about it like it's common. No other church preaches the bride of Jesus Christ. Nobody else is that far along in the book. Now, God bless them. I hope they catch up because I'm enjoying what I'm reading. I'm enjoying this. You know, I say this and I'm going to get down here in a little bit. When we didn't have kids, and my wife reminded me of this the other day, when we didn't have kids, I would sit and read to her. And part of it is because, like I told you before, that's my superpower. I can read quick. I'd read and I'd read her stories and we would read, you know, we'd get a movie, but we'd get in a book form and then read it. And we would read those books, but then we had kids and they ruined all that. But we would read through that, and that was a good time for us. We would read through, and because I'm read it, I know what's going to happen before I even say it to her. So I might almost snicker at a joke, laugh at something, but I'm still got to read the rest of the parts. That's how I feel right now. I've seen the end of the movie, bub. I already know where I go. Now, you might start off and looking at this and looking at that, hearing what I'm saying, only hear half of the message, and still be worried. I'm not worried. I open the Bible and I see my name in every verse. I see that I'm done with this thing. I see God sees me as a finished work. You can't get me to be nervous now. I can't be afraid that I'm not getting raptured out of here now. It's too late. I've already seen my name. I scrolled through and saw my name. You can't change it now. Only God can write it, and God can't take it off. He said when he puts your name in that book, he can't even take it out. Oh, my. Because you understand that he has to transfer that name to that book. That's the book of eternal life. When your name's in that book, it can't be blotted out. It can't be removed. You can't erase it. You can't scratch it out. Once it goes in there, that's it. You're signed, sealed, and delivered. Oh, see, all these things tie together. All these types and things that we say, they all run so perfect. But you got to see your name. Because until you see your name, all you're hearing about is Sister Sue, Brother Warren, Brother Kevin, Sister Joy. But you need to see Jim Click every now and again. You need to see Don Brinkman in there. You need to see Brother George O'Ketch in there. You got to see your name in there or it ain't real yet. Keep reading. Keep staying with it. But once you see your name, then you can start rejoicing. Matter of fact, even Brother Bram said, and all you're getting, get an understanding. What? Get an understanding that your name's in the book. Understand that you have, get a new birth. You must be born again, like Brother Lockett said. To be born again means you have a new birth. To have a new birth, that means you have a clear understanding. These are all the same things. You get an understanding that gives you a new birth. That ties you into it. Oh, my. John saw his name. We see our name. We understand that we're tied to a many-member bride body, and nobody can tell us different. Nobody can tell us different. I see it too clear now. Saints, we have a clear understanding of everything that God wanted to share. Everything. Matter of fact, even when he was sharing it with Abraham, it was still kind of in darkness. He said, can I hide anything from my friend? He was giving him the plan just for that moment. He didn't go all the way back and tell him about when he was Elohim. He didn't tell him everything. He told him about what was going to happen with Sodom. He told him what was going to happen with his lineage. He told him a couple of things. The time he was living, exactly. But I know before I was living. I know before. I know before God was God. That's how far back I go. And I go to when it's God all in all. I know the whole story. I know the Alpha and Omega. I know the first and the last. I understand the beginning and the end. I see it all. Oh, now when we come to church, you can see why I get enthused, because I get caught up on the Lord's Day. I get caught up in heavenly places. When I'm able to fellowship in this, time don't matter no more. Life don't matter no more. Distractions don't matter no more. Let me just revel in this for a little bit and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this revelation. No longer is it time to weep. Stand up now. It's been taken care of.
Praise God for the elders that went before us to pave the way, to make this thing that much easier. We're getting revelation now quicker than we ever got it before. We're getting it quicker than we ever got it before. Why? I think they're making it easier on us. They're revealing things to us. They say, no, 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 say it like this. Move it like that. This will really help you. Say it like that. When they were giving Pastor Moore that message, he was turning me and Brother Jeremiah on that porch. I thought, my goodness, you got all that just on the drive over here? That's 5-6 messages. And we're preaching, I'm preaching Sunday A. You know, he preached Sunday 1A, and I'm preaching Sunday 1A. I'm just taking a note from his message that he didn't even get all of it. We're just taking a little snippet and saying, do you understand that to be at this point, it has to be the end? Because to be able to call yourself the bride, it means it's already over. Oh, my. To say you're the bride of Jesus Christ means the ages have done their job. It means that the seals had to be open. Because to even see that you're bride of Jesus Christ means you had to have your eyes open to see the complete plan of God. This thing was even blocked off. Satan could not even see that God was building a bride. And God did it that way. He said, if I let Satan see what's going on, he may get in there and mess it up. Let me cover it up. And just get in there and work. Get in there and work. Get in there and work. But when it's done, there was nothing Satan can do about it. Took that off. Take that cover off. Hey, you can't do nothing with it now. She's on her feet now. She knows what it is now. You can't get in her way now. She's got the word. And if she doesn't say, thus said the word, she'll keep quiet. But with the word, she can put Satan in his place every time. Amen. Oh, what did Jesus do? When Jesus was tempted, put the word on it. Satan came back, put the word on it. Satan came back, put the word on it. He didn't need help to put the word on it. The angels came after he had sent Satan to flight. Oh, I love that. Because we got the word for the hour now. Oh, because a lot of times you want to think, oh, I need help. I don't need help to send Satan to flight. I got enough word in me to send him on his journey right now. Amen. Go have a seat, bub. I know what it is. It's not even lawful for you to even tempt me. Amen. Oh, you want to come back? I'll put the word on you again. Come back. I can do it. Oh, that's all I'm filled with. Every time you squeeze me, I'm going to give you the word. Every time you try to put me in a situation, I'm going to give you the word. Every time you want to make me doubt where I'm at, I'm going to put the word on it. Oh, but there's got to be another messenger. It can't. Can't be another messenger, Satan. This is the final voice of the final age. I don't know how you make that run, but that means there's nobody else is coming. Oh, but you live so bad. You do this so... Satan, it says those that are alive and remain shall not hinder. Yeah, I can't hold up the rapture. Oh, we say, get right, church, and let's go home. I've been right for a long time. Oh, do I get further in my understanding? Yes. I don't ever want to shrug that. But I've been right for a very, very long time. Oh, well, that's what I love about even our church. Now, I'm just speaking local now. When we talk about being right, we've been right for a long time. Oh, nobody's bringing me something new under the sun. I can even see with somebody emphasis. And I'm like, oh, perfect. Good for you. I'm glad you're right there. Keep reading. You get to another point, I'm like, keep reading. Stay in there. I remember when I was there. I remember when I didn't know where my loved ones would go. I remember where I didn't know where I would go. Keep reading. This book gets better and better. Oh, I know you might be at the part where you want to cry. You might be at the part where you don't know what's going to happen. Keep reading. I'm your elder brother right now saying, the price has been paid. It's already been done. Keep reading down a little bit more. And then when you get to that point where you take the book, then you don't need to read no more. Just go prophesy again. Go tell them what God already told you. And that's what we're doing now. Oh, Brother Jay, do you read? Yes, I read, Satan, you idiot. Yes, I study to show myself approved. Yes, I take the word seriously. Yes, I still come to church. Yes, it's a priority to be here. Yes, I have an obligation. See, because I don't want you to get so dumb in this thing that you, well, I got enough. I don't need any more. I need more today than I needed yesterday. I need more understanding than I needed yesterday. I need God, and I tell you this all the time, but this is my testimony. I need God just as much on my best day as I need him on my worst day. That's been my revelation for a long time. I'll never change from that because I see it too often. People don't need God on good days, but they sure as heck know how to get a hold of him on the bad ones. They know the phone number. They know where you. They suddenly know where you live. They suddenly know what time you get off work. They suddenly know where you're going to be at, suddenly, when they're going through problems. When things are going good, oh, you still live in Beaver Creek? Oh, you still go to that church? That's how it works. This is how it works. But as for me and my house,
I'm going to serve the Lord. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. I need God every day I'm here. I need him every day I'm here. We got to go through so many distractions. I need just a simple reminder. This is a great little bath to get cleaned up and get ready to go back out there. That's why when we come to church, you should enjoy yourself. This should be a free atmosphere to just enjoy yourself and just praise God. Oh, I'm going to get down here. I looked when you were doing the testimonies. I saw Sister Crystal, saw Brother Seth. And I'd like to apologize, but I can't because I did it on purpose. But one of the things I was thinking was like, I saw Brother Seth, and I was like, man, he's going to preach, and he's going to take my message. So because Brother Seth, Sister Crystal got cut off. But come on back, Seth, if we have church again, do something again. But I looked at it, I said, he's going to steal my message. Why? That brother's turned on. That brother's enthused about the word of God. I want to hear him, but I was like, man, come on, let me get a chance. Let me get a chance. I've been holding on to this since Sunday. I've been chomping at the bit. I was like, whoo, I got something to say. Even if for 5 minutes, let me just say it. But that's how we all should be. That's how we all should be in here. It's like, oh, let me just take my little bit. God's been so good to me. He revealed this to me. He opened this to me. He showed me this. Why? Because I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. I'm ready to give my praises to the Lord. I'm ready to just praise him. Matter of fact, when he was in heaven, that's all they did was praising. The only reason why there's silence in heaven is because he's not there anymore. He's here. So there should be praises here. I don't even care if you don't feel like it. Praise the Lord. Praise him. It don't matter what you feel. Your feelings change with the weather anyway. It don't matter. Oh, some people are like, oh, I only like the sun. Some people like the rain. I don't, man. You can't please them all. It's going to rain some days and not rain some days. Were you going to wait till it rains to praise God or wait till the sunshine? No, I praise him in the rain. I praise him in the sunshine. I praise him in the middle of my storm. I praise him when I'm at the top of the mountain. I praise him when I'm in the valley. If I made my bed in hell, he'd still be with me. This is what I see so clearly. So you say, oh, Brother Jay, you're so strong in this thing. Why? Because I've been eating. I've been seeing my name in that book so much you can't take it out of me. Oh, Brother Jay, you're so confident. Why? I saw my name. Right. Oh, I said this in Kentucky, and I'm going to say this and get down. I said, you know, you go to a restaurant, real fancy one, and it looks packed, and you say your name, and you go, Pickens, party of four. And they're looking around, and they go, I don't know. Let me see. And you're nervous, sweating and whatever. So I told them in Kentucky, I said, you're just nervous because you're like, oh, I thought I had a reservation. I thought I called ahead. I thought we were, you know it's packed. Mother's Day, Father's Day, or whatever the day is, and you know you're not going to get nothing to eat if you don't have no reservation. And you're just sitting there, and you're like, oh, man. And they plan around like, I don't know. What time was it? What was it, huh? And they're like, oh, we see you. Pickens, party of four. Oh, it's a different feeling now. It's a different feeling now. Now I look back at the kids and the wife, like, come on. Ah, Daddy got you. I told you I had y'all taken care of. Nothing to worry about here. Have a seat. Oh, that nervousness, that's how I was, nervousness, when I'd read the Bible and they talk about this and talk about that. I go, but I don't see my name. Are you telling me it's in there? I don't see my name. I don't see my name. A little nervous, like, do I got reservations for the marriage supper? Am I going to be there? I hear people talking about the food, talking about this. Just make sure my name's on the reservation. I don't see my name yet. And they kept reading through, and I'd come and get some preaching. And they'd go down, and they'd be in the A through the L's. And they'd go down, and then they get over to the P's, and I'm like, uh-oh. Hold on. Let me see. Pickens, party of four. Come on in. Now I'm rejoicing. Now I see my name. You can't take it from me now. I'm sitting down eating now. I'm at my table now. Oh, this is my table now. You can't get me up now. Oh, I know what it is too clear now. I'm like John now, all on heaven and all above the earth and all beneath the earth. Here's me scream now. Praise God. Praise God for revelation. We are speaking the same thing they're speaking. We're in one mind and in one accord. And when that happens, you got rapturing time. What happened when they're in an upper room with one mind and one accord? Oh, that Holy Spirit had to come down and move on them. We're in one mind and one accord. And when that Holy Spirit comes down to quicken this full word, it's rapturing faith. Oh, my. See? You know, you can't even get rapturing faith unless you have the full word of God, because the Holy Spirit can only quicken the word that's available. And if when it can quicken the full word of God, that's rapturing time. So I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up. I just got so many things in my head. When Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, And remember I said, you can say whatever it said about Jesus, say about you. When Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, and he was weeping. See, he was reading through the book. He knew the end of the story. He's reading through. He was weeping. And they looked at him and said, oh, we know Lazarus is going to get up eventually. We know he'll be, you know, one of the saints that gets up. And Jesus was like, hold on. I am the rapture. I am the resurrection. I'll get him up right now. Lazarus, come forth. The weeping stopped. That's how I feel sometimes. That's why when they say, we're going to just come to the point where we realize we don't have to be here anymore, and then we'll get out of here. But I think it's going to be that real like it was with Jesus. We're sitting here and go, wait a minute. I am the resurrection. Amen. I am what they've been talking about for all this time. I've done all the miracles they said I would do. I believed all the word they said I would believe. I'm that group that is speaking in one mind and one accord. The rapture can go because I'm calling for it. Paul, get up. Irenaeus, get up. Martin, get up. We can call the saints up now because we know who they are. See, there's nobody else preaches like we preach. Nobody else wants to make it as simple as we make it. But if you don't have that receiver on the inside of you, it comes across in simple forms. I say Paul and you go, I don't know who that is. I say Branham, you go, I don't know who that is. Matter of fact, when God would talk to them, it came across in unknown tongues. They said it sounded like thunder and lightning, just a bunch of noise. That's what it sounds like when God talks to people and they don't have a receiver. But when he talks to me, he says, you're mine. You have a clear understanding. You've been mine since before the foundation of the world. Come home to where you belong. You can only go to heaven if you come from heaven. Even Jesus had to go the same way as you. Come on up. Come on up. And that's all we hear now. So we see what John saw. God bless you.
It reminds me, for those who've been here a while, Brother Childers preached a message, all that John saw. And he hit, and he preached. But I think tonight is clearer. Not that Jay added any more to it, but with everything that we're receiving, it all goes together so clear. And we can see that John was definitely typing us. And what we need to understand is that follow John's trail. Don't just say, oh, John types it bright and call it a day. No, if John is typing you, read about John in Revelations 1. Read about John in Revelations 3. Read about John in just following Revelations 10. Read him all the way to where he gets to the messenger, the prophet. And he was so close to God that he actually mistook him for Jesus. That was us. Brother Branham had so much revelation that people actually thought he was God. And it was so important for God to have us have that straightened out that he even put it in the scriptures. I am of your fellow servants. Don't bow down to me. Worship God. I mean, keep your eye on John. This has been the trail of the bride in the book of Revelation showing what we're doing at the end time. And it's not even like we have to make ourselves do it. We're looking at what John's done and see that it's been actually lived through our lives. Amen. And all the other scriptures of the Bible make sense because the book of Revelation makes sense. Everything that John revealed in the book of Revelation tied everything all the way back to Genesis. It wrote the thing all the way back to the beginning. All that John saw is what we see. That's why we have such a perfect understanding. You say, well, you know more than anybody I've ever heard. It's all because of John. It's all because of the revelation. All because of the opening of the seals. But the opening of the seals wasn't just for us. It was for the entire bride body. Because they needed to know, just as much as we needed to know, who was getting up. They needed to know the process, how it's going to work, They needed to know the full story just like we do. So when we say all that John saw, they were already over there rejoicing, like Jay said. But John represented the living bride who joined into that celebration, because we were able to see from this side what they were rejoicing over on that side. And now we're joined together and we're rejoicing as one. I really enjoyed that, Brother Jay. That was special. That was good. I appreciate that. And we have Darsha here. You come up to visit us. You want to say anything, Darsha? I know Don was talking about singing a song. You want to sing that song that you were thinking? Jay just sort of pushing everybody out of the way. However y'all want to do it. You want to say something, Darsha?
Sure, absolutely. It's a blessing to be here, I'll tell you what. I feel humbled just by the presence of the Almighty. And concerning Pastor Moore's message, Don had said, have you got to hear Pastor Moore's message from Sunday? And I said, no, not yet. And then Sister Brenda Early said, have you heard Pastor Moore's message from Sunday? I'm on my third time now. So I thought, okay, I need to listen to that. Coming, and it was a perfect time making the trip yesterday. The Lord just prepared the way. There was no traffic. And I was just shouting and singing and rejoicing. What a beautiful anointed revelation to see it like that. And Brother James, you just continued right on.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. Beautiful. I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm glad my name is there. I know.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm here too. I just want to thank all of you for your many, many prayers.
Yes.
Because I'm only here because of your prayers and because God.
Amen.
2 years. That's right. Next month, 2 years ago, I had 4 strokes. I'm here. Praise God.
Amen.
Have to wear these. That's nothing, you know.
No.
Fell and broke my arm 5 places. God has been so good. I can use it.
Amen.
My back is crushed. My nerve bundles are. So what? God's healed me. I'm walking.
Amen.
I praise Him. I have so much to be praising Him for. So much. I would be such an ungrateful child if I didn't. But it's because of this word.
Yes.
That comes across and it hits my heart and it just takes hold. And God is so good and He's so faithful. But when we were listening to that message, I started singing in the car an old song that we used to sing as kids with Denise, Angels Never Knew the Joy That Was Mine. Mm-hmm. Because, but we thought we'd try it. Yep. I don't know, it says make a joyful noise, right? We don't even know what key we were going to try to do it in.
That's okay.
Just
give him the break.
God, that's all I'm doing. Just let make a joyful break. Noise, right?
That's right.
I can do that.
Amen.
Okay. Angels never knew the joy that is mine, for the blood has never washed our sins away. And though they sing in heaven, there will come a time when silently they'll listen to me sing Amazing Grace. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. If you know it, sing with us.
Amen.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Holy is the Lord, the angels sing before the throne of God continually. For me to join their song will be a natural thing.
Amen.
But they just won't know the words to love lifted me.
Yeah.
Holy is the Lord, we all now sing. Redemption's plan through Christ is now complete. The Lamb took the book, revealing the mystery.
Amen.
And the bride of all the ages, join us singing victory. And
amen.
It's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
God bless all of you. Love you so much.
Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Pray for us. Clarice and I are going to be away, and Melanie and David. This weekend we're going away. So we won't be here this weekend, but Jeremiah will be here. He'll be back in town. I know there's a lot of vacations and things going on, so just keep us in your prayers. Don't forget, service is Sunday morning. And we will see you when we get back. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting. And it don't have to be over there. We can start it right here. Amen. Let's give it. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Yes, so I'm singing and all I'm shouting on the happy morning when we all shall.
Yes, I
it, Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing, yes, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, yes, Savior in the sky. You're dismissed.